Dr. Henwood, thank you so much for being here today. I want to make the proper introduction. Dr. Suzanne Henwood is the CEO of the Luminosity Project, which is located, as you'll probably be able to tell very clearly in her accent, in New Zealand. And it's, quote, "We help people to bring the best of who they are to everything they do, to let their light shine, creating a positive ripple effect in the world." Dr. Henwood counsels managers, teams, and individuals. And what a wonderful quote and a wonderful goal. Thank you again, Dr. Henwood. Participating in this conversation is much appreciated. Navigating workplace bullying, finding resilience, and feeling joy, even in crisis. And we're going to talk a fair amount about crisis. So thanks, Dr. Henwood. So my first question is, let's talk a little bit about the trauma that you experienced in your workplace. My experience in workplace bullying and trauma was in 25 years in television in New York, but tell me a little bit about what happened to you.
Yeah, firstly, thank you for inviting me. It's an absolute pleasure. However we can get this message out to people to let them know they're not alone is just so, so important. So I'm quite a strong, feisty lady, and it kind of surprised me that I got bullied. And I've actually been bullied twice, quite different experiences. So the first one was in academia, and academia, and particularly in healthcare, it's very well researched, very well known. But I didn't even see it was happening for a while. And it was only when somebody actually said, "Are you going to take legal action?" And I'm like, "Oh, what?" I just thought it was poor management, poor leadership, change of leadership, typical thing. Someone new comes in. And I had no idea what was happening and the extent of it. I was so incredibly trusting. So things that were happening to me were things like suddenly found myself left off of email lists for meetings. My office was moved down the corridor into a tiny space initially. And then I was the program director for a master's program. I was an associate professor in health. That was my job. And I kind of foresaw there was some stuff going on. The program was changing, and I foresaw some future work coming my way. So I started recording my hours. And I was averaging between 60 and 70 hours a week. And I knew this request was going to come my way. So when it did, I was kind of ready. And I said, "Well, for 4 months, I've been recording my time, and I'm happy to do this job for you, but you got to take some of this off me." And three of them sat around the table and basically said, "You're a senior member of staff. We expect more of you." So that was my real first red flag. Once I started asking questions, my manager started avoiding me. He wouldn't have meetings with me. He wouldn't speak in a corridor with me.
Being ostracized is the worst. And we'll get into that, but keep going. I'm getting to what you're saying in such a personal way.
And I didn't even realize, as I say, it was bullying per se. And then I got a phone call from someone who said, "I think you need to know about a conversation I've overheard." And she had overheard the dean of the faculty talking to my manager saying, "Make her life so unbearable, she leaves."
Unbelievable.
So that was the escalation of it, really. I took personal grievance. I got a formal apology. The behaviors got worse. I took another grievance. I got an apology. It made it even worse. I got changed managers. My new manager was amazing, absolutely lovely. She sat in on the kind of grievance, said she had no idea what had been going on. And then she was left to give me the formal apology. So the people who had done it had never, ever acknowledged. And I wasn't alone. I was one of 13 in the professoriat. And I think when I finally left, there was three left.
Yeah. Now, let me ask, there's so many things I'm interested in about what you said. First of all, that you felt so alone. Boy, oh, boy. And you just said you're a feisty lady.
Feisty.
And I was a boss myself, and I was often bullied by the CEO or somebody higher up. But I was never shy, retiring, timid. I was never bullied in school. I played sports. I think, although my classmates might dispute this, I don't think so. I think I was well-liked. And I think, and I'm curious about your work with people who have been victims and targets. It's not the timid, shy ones. It's often the ones that are, as you suggested, the hardest working, the most productive, who colleagues like, and for some reason we become targets. Was that your experience? And I'm also interested in how this bullying affected you physically, psychologically, and emotionally.
Yeah, hugely. And later I've trained with Dr. Gary Namy from the Workplace Bullying University.
Both of us.
And I discovered exactly what you've just said, is the typical target is the high performer, well-liked, and basically you're a threat and they need to get you out of the way. So, but I didn't know any of that when I was going through it. So because I was surprised by the behaviors, I was going home at night going, what have I done? Why me? What, you know, I'm blaming myself.
And so I'm open to talking about this now. For years, I didn't recognize it. I was in television and I thought, this is New York. This is television. This is how it is. It's a stressful business. And I've come to find out, whether you're in the United States, in New Zealand, in Africa, in Canada, all across the world, this is happening. But I thought, hey, you signed up for this. And in some ways, not just signed up for it, but I needed to man up kind of thing. Yeah. And that, you know, I self-blame. Like, what's wrong with me? What do I need to do? Maybe I need to work harder, work better, be more productive, win more honors, get more views, get better ratings. None of that worked. But, oh, I was going to tell you that in my digestive system was shot. I had high anxiety, heart palpitations. I couldn't sleep, had recurring nightmares. And some suicidal ideation. And so I'm wondering, and I know you're seeing this kind of thing in your work, but before we get to that, in your personal life, did you have those kinds of symptoms and so forth and results of the bullying?
Yeah, with the exception of I don't really dream, I didn't get nightmares, but I would wake at night and it would be going over in my head, what can I do? What have I done? Certainly wondered whether I could carry on going, that suicidation. And that surprised me as well, because I'm strong. I'm a coach. I guess the other one health-wise, just to kind of share with you, is the second time I was bullied is actually more recently, and it was in a professional coaching community, which really surprised me. And my perception, it's always my story, right? This is what I think happened, is that I was asked to head up that community when the developer died, and a couple of other people didn't want me doing that. They wanted the earning potential for themselves. And so they orchestrated a mechanism to get me out. But with that one, I ended up on a cardiac ward for a week, and they told me I had had a stroke and a cardiac event, all of which I think was stress related to the behaviors. And again, that isolation, they disconnect you from all social media, from the community. They raise false allegations against you, and then they basically chuck you out. And I've been recently chucked out of the community because of telling the truth.
Yeah. It's unbelievable, the mistreatment, but more so in places you'd never believe it could happen.
Absolutely. Health and coaching. Seriously.
And I've talked to people in social welfare, in domestic violence. Now, and again, let's be clear. We're not talking about violent behavior. It could be psychologically violent, but we're not talking about, and in my case, and I'm very clear about this in my experience, nobody threw a stapler at my head. I wasn't bleeding. Nobody sexually harassed me. In our country, there's laws against that. I think there are in New Zealand as well. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about psychological harassment. And as you talked about, and I'm an acolyte of Dr. Namy's as well, he was the first to tell me, did you ask for this? Well, no, of course not. So he started me along a path of not self-blaming and not feeling like I was a failure. So he's been wonderful to me, and I'm glad that he's had the same effect and counsel to you. So when did this happen, this cardiac event? How long ago was that?
Oh, 2019.
Oh. And that what led you to looking to get out of that world and into helping others who have experienced similar circumstances?
No, I was actually in that world before then. So because of the university event, actually it wasn't the university, it was a secondary, higher ed, not university. But yeah, because of that, I really started to get more into what is this bullying about? How can I support people? I have quite a strong faith. And I was like, why am I here? What, I'm not making any influence. So what job do you want me to do here, God? Because
yeah.
And what became very clear is my office became a safe haven for others. So because it was a, it wasn't just me, it wasn't personal. There was a lot of bullying going on. Yeah. And so people would just come in, shut the door and say, can I just sit here for 5 minutes?
You know, I had the exact same thing. So I was working on a television show and I was a senior producer years ago. And I started counting. There were quite a good number of female workers that were working for me and working on the show. And it was mostly a female-oriented staff. The top people were women. And I was being bullied by the women. And I want to ask you about that, too, because I know you have some experience therein. But I started counting the number of young women coming into my office, closing the door and starting to cry because of the toxic environment that they were experiencing. I was being bullied. They weren't so much being bullied, but they could sense the toxic environment that pervaded this TV show. And just like you, I tried as best I could to make them feel better, make them understand, let them know I was there. And that was part of my management style. I didn't want to do that to them. So it's interesting you had a similar experience. And so you saw that you had an affinity for this, a desire to help, and you went into coaching.
I was already in coaching, but I wasn't overtly coaching bullying at that stage. So yeah, I started offering a service for support and coaching, particularly around bullying. I went and did the training with Gary and Amy so that I had some, you know, good quality knowledge behind it. I read everything that I could. I wanted it not to just be about my personal experience. I wanted to give proper stats, proper therapeutic advice. The whole link to complex PTSD, I had never thought of that in link with bullying before. And it makes so much sense. The psychological damage is way more than if they had just slapped me around the head.
Yeah, it's so damaging. And you bring up PTSD, and just now I'm going to ask you about how you, as a coach and doctor, approach people who have experienced this. But you mentioned PTSD, and I believe I have PTSD. A lot of the things that I dealt with happened 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago. And Dr. Namy actually mentioned that this stuff gets into your long-term memory and stays there. And I was almost embarrassed to suggest that I had PTSD because that's usually associated with people in the military. And I was in television, not in a wartime atmosphere. But there's different levels of this, but you can have PTSD from this experience, can't you?
Absolutely. And complex PTSD, where this is not one-off event. Like this is not something that happened on one day or one meeting. For most of us, it's a recurring, ongoing form of abuse.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it's way more complex to deal with. It's way more integrated into your neurology. And it can take a time to heal from. And, you know, most high-performing people tell themselves, well, I should just be able to get over it. I should just be able to move on. I should be able to forgive whatever the story is. But it's in your body and in your neurology. And unless you work with someone who can help you change at that level, yeah, probably it's going to keep waking you up at night and keep being the focus of your thoughts.
So let me ask the question. Somebody comes into you, they've experienced the kinds of things that you and I and so many millions of others have across the world. How do you begin? And it was great because I researched you and we were talking just before we started recording and you said it. And I so believe this. There's no solution. You know, I don't think, and if you can give a solution, great. But in my experience, you're not going to take the bully boss and make him your best friend. And you're not going to make them an empathetic manager. So when someone comes to you, how do you approach this from a medical, psychological, coaching perspective?
Yeah, so I'm not a medical doctor. I'm an academic doctor. I work in the therapeutic coaching space and I work with some GP practices. So they refer clients to me who have already pitched up with medical symptoms, and yeah, they'll come to me. So what I say to people, even if they're ringing me saying, can I help, is I will say right from the beginning, there is no easy solution. There's no magic button that I can help you press that will make this fall away. I said, I have to be honest with you, and that, you know, if you're looking for a solution in your workplace, the research shows only 3% are managed effectively, and that the vast majority of people end up leaving. And in my experience, they end up leaving a lot longer after than when they should have done, that they sustain ongoing injury because they think there will be a process to get through it. So if they agree to come and see me, and I am completely honest that I don't have a magic button for them. If they come, one of the first things I do is just listen, hold safe space, let them talk it through, acknowledge I hear them. And alongside that, normalize it. This is not about you being weak or broken. This is your nervous system responding in exactly the way it's designed to do. It makes complete sense. Because they say, I don't know why I can't let go, or I don't know why I'm still thinking of it. I don't know. And I go, I do. And I can help to explain all that to you. So quite a lot in that early day is the holding, the giving them safety they probably haven't had for a while, co-regulating, and I guess psychoeducating them about them understanding the present, where they're at.
And do you acknowledge, like, in a psychiatric environment, the psychiatrist rarely brings forth their own experience that might relate to what the patient is experiencing? Do you let them know, and I don't know if this is helpful or not, that you're one of us, that you get it?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't go into detail. I don't go into the who, the where, the when, but I absolutely am honest that now I've had two significant bullying events. And with all of my ability and knowledge and understanding, I've still had to work really hard to heal.
Yeah. Yeah. Even with all your knowledge, I'm sure. And it's, and like I said, it's years over years of processing. And you also use kind of neuroscience, using your academic learnings to approach this issue and your clients, your patients. Tell me how you use the latest in science and data to help people deal with this issue.
Yeah, to be honest, you know, once you know something, you think, how could you ever do it without knowing? I cannot imagine now coaching without this. So working directly with both neurology and physiology. So for example, polyvagal theory is one of my core trainings and qualifications. And it helps people understand how we're wired neurologically and why and how we react in certain ways. So I'll give you an example. This week, I had a lovely, it's actually a friend, not a client, but she, I'm going to say got attacked. She works with special needs kids in a school, and she had just returned from shoulder surgery. So she'd been off because of an injury at work where a kid had pulled her arm so badly, she had to have shoulder surgery. She'd just gone back. And a week later, she sat on the mat and a kid came up behind her and hit her with a shoe around the head. Hospitalized, concussion. She's a week on from that. And she said, can I just come and talk to you? She's going, it must be me. Why can't I just, this is my job. Why can't I just go back in? And I'm not even sure I can go back into the classroom. So to sit and listen to her and say, you're not crazy. This is what's happening in your neurology. She said initially she just felt like curling up in a ball and disappearing. Yep, that's dorsal vagal. That's absolutely normal. It's when your body can't cope, it will drop to that level. We sometimes call it freeze or fold and flop, or the official name was dorsal vagal. The whole bit in the middle when you feel a threat is fight and flight.
Yeah.
Now, in a workplace, really difficult to do either with any grace. Because if you stand and fight, you're going to get told you're an uncooperative employee. And if you flight, they're going to chastise you because you've walked away. But that's just your neurology behaving in a way it's supposed to when you're under threat.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's as I said, I believe, and you know this better, that there's a certain type of person that they know they can bully. Like the bullies smell us and they know, and you tell me if I'm wrong, they know that we're going to take it in most cases, depending on how severe it is, and go back, sit down and go back to work and then and or leave. And I took it because I loved my job. I loved being in television and being in the newsroom, being in the center of it all, creating shows. And so for me, if I quit or ask for a transfer or a severance package, then the bully won. And so I took it forever, thinking again that it's me, I need to deal with it. And so how would you address someone who says, well, I don't want to be a loser by letting the bully win?
And yeah, I go back to health. And I get it. I get that it's, you know, the job you love. You really love it. To me, I had moved my family from UK to New Zealand to be in that academic post. So leaving it was like, I'd moved my whole life for this job. But, and the but is a big one for me, is it worth you dying over or being so chronically ill that you can't live your life? So I'll go back to health and say, if this is impacting you in such a way, we'll find a way mentally and story-wise for you to live with you walking away that isn't about losing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about values. It's about ethics. It's about honesty, whatever it is, and that you no longer fit. You are out of alignment with the organization you're in.
Yeah.
But please don't get to the point where, you know, they've even called it bullycide now. So many people are committing suicide because of bullying. It's got its own name.
Yeah, bullycide. I haven't heard that, but I have talked to people who, and I never came close. I mentioned I had suicidal ideation. It was just because I was so depressed and self-blame and why me? But I never came close, and I don't want to over-dramatize or be melodramatic. I'm not suggesting that I really thought that I was going to do that. So I was not one of those people. But I have heard others who have. And I'm not surprised, though. I'm not surprised when you think you're a good person, a valuable person, a helpful person, a productive person, and then everything you're getting says the opposite. Let me go back to something else before we conclude, because I was curious. Most of my bullies in my workplace, over years and decades in television were men. But I did have experiences where women displayed these kinds of behaviors. My question for you is, have you seen that in your practice? And is there anything different in the way the women are bullying or the effect that they have on their employees?
I came through a healthcare background where 70% of employees are women. So not surprisingly, the bullies were women as well. I think for me, it's not so much about gender. What they hide, in daylight because they are fake and they pretend they're lovely. They pretend they're honest. They pretend they're doing good for people. And you kind of don't see it coming. And then when it happens to the target, they're still being nice to someone else. So when you go to them and say, hey, they go, oh, no, that's not how I think they're lovely. Gosh, they give me a hug in the corridor and, you know, all of that stuff. So I think there's an element of, you said earlier, they can see us and smell us.
Yeah.
I still struggle with that because I'm a strong, feisty lady, right? And I don't think I fitted what I thought targets looked like beforehand. And I don't think I'm an easy target. Like, I would have thought anyone that knew me, you cross my boundaries of ethics or honesty, and I am going to talk to you and tell you, and if necessary, report you through. I've just done that with the people who have done it in this community. I'm uncovering all sorts of lies, and I'm exposing them, going whistleblowing.
Yeah, good for you.
Now, that doesn't make you popular and it's not easy and the cost is huge. But that's my values. So I'm not sure that it's gender per se. I have been bullied by, in both cases, there was a woman and a bloke involved. Do women do it differently? I'm not sure. Because I've worked all my life mainly with women and I can see how nasty they are. If you look at schools, you look at teenagers, teenage girls, oh, they are nasty. Boys, you go and smack someone in the face and it's sorted and walk away.
And they laugh. I mean, my daughter got bullied in high school, ostracized. My son had a bunch of great friends. And if they got mad at each other, they forgot about it in 30 seconds. There's something, you know, that mean girls kind of thing that we hear about.
Yeah. And I do think that comes out in adult women as well. So this last episode has been, there's a group of four people who have effectively ejected me. But one of those has only just come into the frame. But 4 years ago, she said she didn't want her name associated with me because my business partner suggested her behaviors were bullying. So she's held that for 4 years. And the minute she got some power, she came in knowing she was going to get rid of me.
Awful.
So there is something in women about the holding on, the revenge, the...
Yeah. And going back to the bully targets and bully victims, and I probably should say this at the outset of every interview I do, I acknowledge my privilege. I acknowledge that I've had a lot of benefits in my life growing up as a white male. Fair enough. What I'm so interested in being involved in this work is that anybody can be bullied. High salary, high position, highly productive. All socioeconomic doesn't matter. You could be lower or middle or high end or whatever it is. Any race, any creed, any gender. And we're not talking about discrimination again. But there's a civil rights law about that. So I just want to make that clear. I acknowledge that I was paid pretty well in television. It didn't matter. I wanted to be loved. I wanted to be respected. I wanted to be appreciated. And I think that's all any of us are looking for. And that's not what we're getting and not what these managers are giving. So
included, right? Belonging and included.
Yes. We want to be part of a team. We want to help. We want to, you know, and that's all I was saying about the most loyal and productive and devoted people are the ones that I think get bullied because they know that you care and that you're not necessarily, in many cases, maybe not yours, you're not going to fight back and go, hey, cut it out now, which I never felt that I could do. So Dr. Suzanne Henwood, I want to thank you so much. This has been so enlightening. I'm learning. I got so much from this. I know for viewers that are watching, you have an offering that you'd like to present.
Yeah, I thought, what can I give to help people who listen to your beautiful summit and then say, oh, am I being bullied? And so I put together a little cheat sheet, really. How do I know if I've been bullied? And if I have been bullied, what are the kind of key things to consider about coming through the other side? So I'd love to offer that as a freebie for people on this summit. Obviously, people can contact me directly if they want help and someone to talk to. And we found that with bullying training, that a lot of people are quite nervous coming to a training because they might be, you know, labeled as weak or whatever. So we've created, Grow and myself in New Zealand have created an online course. So grow.co.nz, if you go to their on-demand learning, you can do it in complete safety and anonymity. And what I do there is talk in a lot more depth about who's targeted, who's the bully, what would you do, what are you looking for, what are the health impacts and all of that. So if that's useful, then please do head over there and have a look at that.
Wonderful. Just terrific. Well, final word from me, speaking to the bully victims and targets who are watching, and maybe the bully bosses too, but bully victims, you are not alone. We're here and we're here for you. Thanks for watching.